الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، this is our fourth lesson in our seminar, which is entitled Al-Islam huwa al-Din al-Haq. Al-Islam, it is the religion of truth. I've seen a number of benefits from the most important of them is the clarification of the true Islam, the correct Islam, Islam that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that leads to the Jannah. That is the Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. The Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So this is the criterion. Al-Qur'an wa sunnah. Al-Qur'an wa sunnah ala fahm al-sahaba. Ala fahm al-sahaba. The Qur'an and the sunnah according to the understanding of the sahaba. According to the understanding of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. Now we see the importance and the status of the Sunnah in al-Islam, and that the true Sunnah is that which is conveyed to us from the Sahaba, particularly the Khulafa ar-Rashidin minhum, from them, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. The narration that we have seen, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ. You must hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa ar-rashidin. So our discussion this afternoon, barakallahu fikum, is about al-mutaba'ah. Al-mutaba'ah. What does al-mutaba'ah mean? Ahsanta, following, means doing things according to the sunnah. Ahsanta, Allahumma barik. So al-mutaba'ah means doing things according to the sunnah. It means following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truthfully and diligently and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establishing the deen of Allah azza wa jal. So we read, Al-Mutaba'atu, indeed, it is an incumbent obligation to believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the revealed revelation. Allah the Exalted said, Aminu billahi wa rasulihi wa nuri alladhi anzala. Therefore, believe in Allah and His Messenger and the light of this Quran, which we have set down, and that is all of what you do. Allah clarified His Prophet does speak from desire. Rather, what He said in His book of Al-Hawa, in that and as mentioned in the Prophet, the proper understanding also sit down unto you, the Quran, the reminder, the advice, that you may explain clearly to men what is sent down to them, that they may give thought. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا لِتُبَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الَّذِي اخْتَرَفُوا فِيهِ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And we have not sent down the book, meaning the Quran, to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that you may explain clearly unto them those things in which they differ. And as a guidance and mercy for a people who believe. And a guidance and mercy for a people who believe. So therefore, it's an obligation to believe in Allah and testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, la ilaha illallah, and to believe in the Messenger of Allah and to testify that Muhammad is the slave of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to believe in the Quran, the revelation that has been revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise to believe in the Sunnah. And the Quran and the Sunnah, both of them are light and guidance, revelation from Allah azza wa jal, because the Prophet, he does not speak from his desires, whether it's only a revelation that is revealed. So the Sunnah is revelation just like the Quran is revelation. You understand that? The Sunnah is revelation just like the Quran is revelation. No doubt the Quran is superior from the fact that it's the speech of Allah, it's the words of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sunnah is the words of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both of them are revelation and guidance. Both of them are revelation and guidance. We continue reading. As well, he has also clarified that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most excellent example to follow in all aspects of life, and that in order to obtain guidance and mercy, one must believe in him and follow him diligently. Allah the Exalted, he said. These words are very important if you pay attention. As well, he, meaning Allah, has also clarified that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most excellent example, is the most excellent example to follow in all aspects of life. This is the point I want you to pay attention to. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khairan. And that in order to obtain guidance and mercy, in order to obtain guidance and mercy, would you like to have guidance? Do you hope to have mercy? In order to obtain guidance and mercy, you must believe in him. You must believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and follow him diligently. This is the reward. This is the reward from believing in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and following him diligently. This is the recompense you will receive in this life, is that Allah will guide you and he will grant you mercy. Allah the Exalted, he said, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ الَّذِي يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. So believe in Allah and his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophet who can neither read nor write, who himself he believes in Allah and his words, meaning the revelation, and follow him so that you may be guided. And follow him so that you may be guided. So if we hope to be guided, we must follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, he clarifies and emphasizes in the next verse, وَإِن تُطِعُوهُ تَحْتَدُوا. Allah, he says, if you obey him, you shall be on right guidance. If you obey him, meaning if you obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be guided. So the contrary is true. If you disobey him, you will not be guided. You will not be guided. You will be led astray and left to your desires. Be led astray with the other billah and left to your desires. Allah, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَّرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have the best example to follow for him who hopes for the meeting of Allah and the last day and remembers Allah much. And remembers Allah much. So those who truly have high hopes in the meeting of Allah and the promise of Allah, and they remember Allah often, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger is the best role model for them. As for those who have weak faith and do not remember Allah often and have little hope in the hereafter, then you will not find the Messenger of Allah an example for them. You will find the disbelievers and the enemies of the Messenger of Allah an example for them. You will find them taking the enemies of the Messenger as an example and role model because of a weakness in their faith. So the Prophet, he sent as a role model for all mankind. But it's those who truly hope in the mercy of Allah and the meeting of Allah in the hereafter, and it's those who truly remember Allah often that will benefit from that and sincerely and wholeheartedly take him as a role model. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qari ibn Kathir, himahullah, fi tafsirihi li hadhihi al-ayat al-kareema. هذه الآية الكريمة أصل كبير في التأسي برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أقواله وأفعاله وأحواله. In his commentary on this noble verse, Ibn Kathir, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, this noble verse is a fundamental principle for following the example of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in his sayings, actions, and circumstances. In his statements, actions, and circumstances. وروى الخطيب البغدادي رحمه الله في الجامع عن سفيان بن عيينة رحمه الله أنه كان يقول إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الميزان الأكبر فعليه تعرض الأشياء على خلقه وسيرته وهدي فما وافقها فهو الحق وما خالفها فهو الباطل. الخطيب البغدادي, may Allah have mercy on him, the great scholar of hadith, he died in the year 463. He has a great work about the manners and etiquettes of the teachers and students. It's called Al-Jami' fi Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami'. In this work here, he narrated with his chain from Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Again, also from the great scholars of Hadith. He died in year 198. He used to say himself, indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the ultimate standard. Is the ultimate standard. Any meaning of the greatest scale. Everything is to be measured against his character, his conduct, his guidance, and what he was upon from his demeanor and manners. Whatever aligns with it is the truth, and whatever contradicts it is falsehood. So this is the determining factor. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best role model. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For those who have sincere and true hope in the meeting of Allah in the day, in the last day. And وذكر الله كثير, and they remember Allah often. They remember Allah often. The messenger is the scale in their life. They present everything to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What they believe, their creed, their methodology, their way, their manners, their conduct, the halal and the haram, that which is good, that which is bad, that which is beneficial, that which is harmful. They understand these affairs in the light of the sunnah. They understand these affairs in the light of the sunnah. The scale here in this issue is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever is in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is sound, it is good, it is acceptable. Alhamdulillah. And whatever is contrary to that, it is lowly, it is foul, it is rejected. Whoever said it, whoever does it. Whoever said it and whoever does it. No matter how long we did it ourselves, once we found out it's contrary to the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we truly believe in Allah and have high hopes for the mercy of Allah in the hereafter, we will leave it. We will leave it. You let it go for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man taraka shay'an lillah awwadahu Allahu khayran minhu." That whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give him in replace of that something much better. Something much better. So you must believe and you must follow. So we continue reading. And Allah the Most High has made following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a sign of having true love for Allah the Exalted, as well as a sign that Allah loves a person. Two things. Both of them are about love. And Allah the Most High has made following the Messenger a sign of having true love for Allah. Then we all claim to love Allah, and the sign that we're true in our claim to love Allah is that we follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we hope that Allah loves us, and the sign that Allah loves us is that He allows us to follow His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who sincerely and truthfully, inwardly and outwardly, follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a testimony to their faith, and this is a testimony to their claim of love for Allah Azza wa Jal, that their claim is truthful and sincere, and that in their heart they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this likewise in turn is a sign that Allah loves them. That Allah loves them. Because if Allah loves you, He will guide you to the sunnah of the Bilal. If Allah loves you, He will guide you to the sunnah of the Bilal, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, He says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Meaning accept Islamic monotheism, the Tawheed, and follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah, He will love you and forgive you your sins. Allah, He will love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Qala ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, هذه الآية الكريمة حاكمة على كل من ادعى محبة الله وليس هو على الطريقة المحمدية فإنه كاذب في دعواه في نفس الأمر حتى يتبع شر محمدي والدين النبوي في جميع أقواله وأفعاله وأحواله كما ثبت في الصحيح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو Ibn Kathir, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, this noble verse is a decisive ruling against anyone who claims to love Allah but does not adhere to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But such a person is lying in their claim. Such a person is lying in their claim. Their claim to love Allah, but they do not follow the way of Muhammad, they're lying. This is what he's saying. They're lying. And this ayah here is a judge against them. Such a person is lying. Such a person is lying in their claim until they follow the legislation of Muhammad and the prophetic religion in all their statements, actions, and circumstances. As has been authentically reported from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, whoever does an action that is not in accordance with our matter, our affair, with the sunnah, our laws and legal ways, then it is rejected. It is rejected. This is the end of the statement of Kathir rahimahullah. When Aisha radiallahu anha naha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa fihi fahuwa rad, muttafaqun alayhi. Wa li muslim, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad. On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever innovates something in this affair of ours that is not of it, it will be rejected. This is muttafaqun alayhi. And another narration by Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever does an action that is not in accordance with our affair, then it will be rejected. Then it will be rejected. This narration is a fundamental principle and evaluating outward actions, indicating that they are not valid unless they conform to the legislation and that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with these two wordings here, we see that those who introduce innovations into the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, their actions are rejected. And those who follow those innovations without themselves introducing them, also their actions are rejected. Because sometimes whenever you tell some people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa rad." Whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, and he newly introduced the matters, newly introduced matters and affairs, innovations, then it would be rejected. They say, "Oh, I didn't introduce that. I'm not the one who brought that. I'm just following my people." All right? So the hadith doesn't apply to me because I didn't introduce anything. Wallah, that's what they claim. You say to them, actually, there's another wording, also by Aisha, connected by Imam Muslim. And in this wording, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does a deed that's not in accordance to our affair, then it will be rejected. So that means that the matter that's introduced, and the one who introduced it, his deeds are rejected. That action is rejected. And likewise, those who simply apply those newly introduced affairs, their actions are rejected. Likewise. So whether a person, he's the one who introduced the innovation, or were he simply following those who introduced it, all of those actions that are introduced and innovated are rejected and not accepted. That means that they're wasting their time. They're doing things thinking that they're going to draw near to Allah and earn His pleasure, but they have been deceived by the devil and deviation, and they're working hard for no reward. And they think that they're coming close to Allah, but innovations only take them further away from their Lord. Waliyadh billah. This is the case of innovations and misguidance. So this narration here is a scale and a judge, a fundamental principle in evaluating the outward actions. The actions have a reality from the outward aspect and from the inward aspect. As for the outward aspect, then they must conform to the legislation. They must be in accordance to the law and legislation, the revelations that were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not customs, not cultures, not desires, not whims, not dreams, right? According to the sunnah. That's why the Prophet, he was sent. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ. Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Then Allah will love you. Not follow your customs, not follow your tribe, not follow your people, not follow so-and-so, not follow the great sheikh, not follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah will love you. So you follow the sheikh, you follow the imam, whenever he follows the Prophet. The scale is not the sheikh, nor the imam. The scale is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even the best imam and the greatest scholar, he'll make an error sometimes, even though there will be few. But in those errors, we will not follow him. We'll follow our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he's a true scholar of the sunnah, we'll make excuses for him. But we will not follow him in any error or anything that's in contradiction to the clear sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his sunnah is the scale. Al-Mizan al-Akbar. Al-Mizan al-Akbar. So we're tried in this manner like this. It's a test. You're going to follow the people, you're going to follow your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is with regards to the outward aspect of the actions. Similarly, the narration, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, the narration that indeed the intentions, indeed the actions are judged by intentions, serves as a fundamental principle for the inward actions, emphasizing that every act of worship intended to draw closer to Allah must be sincere for His sake and valid based on the intention behind it. So the action of worship, the means to draw near to Allah, it must be in accordance to the legislation, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. It must be in accordance to the legislation, inwardly and outwardly. One does not suffice without the other. Inwardly, meaning the intention must be sincere. A person, he must truly hope for the reward from Allah alone and seek the pleasure of Allah alone and do the deed based upon that faith and that desire to have acceptance from Allah alone, not from the people. No worldly gain, no other intention, ulterior motive. Only the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's the intention for doing the action. And then it's still not going to be accepted until that action is performed outwardly in accordance to the legislation and the law of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which was revealed from the guidance and light to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله والعبادة والطاعة والاستقامة ولزوم الصراط المستقيم ونحو ذلك من الأسماء مقصودها واحد ولها أصلان. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية may Allah have mercy on him, he said that terms such as worship, ibadah, obedience, ta'ah, uprightness or steadfastness, al-istiqamah, and adherence to the straight path, all these expressions revolve around one core meaning. They are based upon two fundamental principles. أحدهما ألا يعبد إلا الله. The first is that none should be worshipped except for Allah. والثاني ألا يعبد إلا بما أمر وشرع ولا يعبد بغير ذلك من الأهواء والظنون والبدع. والثاني ألا يعبد إلا بما أمر وشرع ولا يعبد بغير ذلك من الأهواء والظنون والبدع. Secondly, that he is not worshipped except through what he has commanded and legislated, not through desires, conjectures, or innovations. So these are the two principles for the worship or the obedience or istiqamah, steadfastness, to be considered valid and pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's based upon these two affairs here, that none should be worshipped but Allah. The intention should be purely and wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah, and that Allah, he should not be worshipped except in the manner he has commanded and legislated, not based upon desires and whims, customs and cultures and innovation. واضح. And this is the true meaning and the essence of the testimony, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. No one has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Allah the Most High, he said, so whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, let him work righteousness and associate none in worship with his Lord. And associate none in worship with his Lord. So working righteousness, this means that the deed is in accordance to the legislation and the command of Allah. And that he does not associate any partners whatsoever in the worship of his Lord. This means that his intention is pure. It's not showing off or wanting to be heard. It's not showing off or wanting to be heard. So this noble verse here is clarifying these principles that we're discussing. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا يعني موافقة للشريعة للسنة النبوية ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا يعني يخلص النية لله وحده سبحانه وتعالى. That whoever truly hopes for the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla, let him work righteous deeds, deeds in accordance to the prophetic legislation and law that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not associate any partners whatsoever in the worship of his Lord, make his intention purity for the sake of Allah, not wanting to be heard or showing off or any ulterior motives whatsoever, rather seeking the pleasure of Allah alone. These are those two conditions, those two principles for every action to be considered valid in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. It must be sincerely for the sake of Allah, in accordance to the legislation and the law prescribed and clarified by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى بَلَى مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And he said, Subhana, yes, but whoever submits his face to Allah, meaning he's sincere and his intention is pure, and he is a muhsin, a good doer, meaning he's working righteous deeds according to the law and legislation prescribed in the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then his reward is with his Lord, and there should be no fear upon him, nor shall they grieve. And there should be no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ دِينًا وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah, he said, who can be better in religion? The one who submits his face to Allah, the one who is sincere and truthful in his intention, and while being a muhsin, a good doer, following the legislation precisely, not transgressing the limits of the sunnah, and follows the way of Ibrahim, Hanif, pure monotheism, seeking the pleasure of Allah, turning away from everything that is contrary. And Allah did take Ibrahim as a khalil. But amal al-sarih al-ihsan huwa fi'ru al-hasanat wal-hasanat hiya ma ahabbahu Allah wa rasuluhu wa huwa ma amara bihi amra ijaban aw istihban. The statement of Shaykh al-Islam continues, and we pay attention to this part here. This is coming to a point. He said, rahimahullah, righteous actions, al-amal al-sarih is ihsan, al-ihsan yani al-ihsan is performing the righteous actions, and in these verses that have preceded, excellence in worship. And ihsan is doing good deeds that are called al-hasanat. Al-hasanat, you have a hasana, right? You heard of hasana? It means a good deed. The point is hasanat. Hasanats are good deeds. And the good deeds are what Allah and His Messenger love, right? So that the hasanat that you hope to do, these good deeds, that are considered hasana, they're the deeds that are beloved to Allah and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Namely, that which Allah has commanded, either as an obligation or a recommendation. So the commandments that are beloved to Allah, they're either obligatory commandments or recommended commandments. But so long as they're beloved to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're considered hasanat. They're considered good deeds. They're considered righteous actions. You understand that? فَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْبِدْعِ فِي الدِّينِ أَلَيْسَتْ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَلَا فِي صَحِيحِ السُّنَّةِ فَإِنَّهَا وَإِنْ قَالَهَا مَنْ قَالَهَا وَعَمِلَ بِهَا مَنْ عَمِلَ لَيْسَتْ مَشْرُوعَةً فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّهَا وَلَا رَسُولُهُ فَلَا تَكُونُ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَلَا مِنَ الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ كَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ مَا لَا يَجُوزُ كَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَالظُّلْمِ لَيْسَ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَلَا مِنَ الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. So whatever innovations in the deen that are not found in the book or in the authentic sunnah, even if the one who says them, yani so-and-so, the great imam, or the one who does them, yani the great scholar, they are not legislated. Innovations in the religion that have no evidence in the book or in the authentic sunnah, they're not legislated even if so-and-so says them or so-and-so does them, or even if so many people are following that way. For Allah and His Messenger do not love them. Allah and His Messenger do not love them. Allah and His Messenger do not love innovations. Do not love innovations. Is this clear? Does Allah love innovations? Does Allah love for you to make up to freestyle a way and make up a way you just worship however you like? No. That's why He sent prophets and messengers, so that you can follow them, because they're the teachers clarifying the way that's beloved to Allah to be worshipped. So He loves for you to follow the prophets and messengers, not to follow your desires and whims. So this is clear here. So Allah does not love them, nor His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are not from the good deeds, nor are they from righteous actions. Actions of innovation are not beloved to Allah, nor to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're not considered hasanat, nor are they considered amal as-salih. They're not considered righteous deeds. Pay attention. Just as those who commit impermissible acts, such as immorality, those who commit zina, or those who commit injustice, for example, those who smoke weed, those who get high, and those who have girlfriends. Are these considered righteous deeds? Why not? Why not? That's not hasanat? Smoking weed is not hasanat? Huh? Getting drunk, drinking 40s is not hasanat? Having a girlfriend or two or three on Facebook and WhatsApp, that's not hasanat? Why not? Because Allah forbade that. So it's not hasanat. Even if so-and-so did it and so-and-so did it. The same thing, just like these foul sins are not hasana, bid'ah, innovation in the deen, and worshiping Allah according to desires and whims and customs and cultures contrary to the text, is not hasana. That's not hasana, and that's not hasana. So if it's not hasana, what is it? Sayyi'ah. Sayyi'ah, bad deed. Fornication, good deed or bad deed? Bad deed. Drinking alcohol, selling alcohol, good deed or bad deed? Bad deed. Type innovation, good deed or bad deed?
Bad.
Bad deed. Bad deed bring you close to Allah, take you far from Allah. Far from Allah. Bad deed, innovation, take you close to Allah or far from Allah? Far from Allah. So we have to be careful, because we want to get close to Allah. We don't want to waste our time worship, and in the end we don't even get close to Allah because of ignorance, because of lack of concern, because of lack of care, because of lack of time to learn, because of a staunch love for our forefathers, regardless of the truth in the life like this. You're going to follow the prophet, he's the scale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, after the prophet, created men in every generation to uphold the sunnah and to preserve it and to protect it. They have given their lives in learning the sunnah and in verifying the sunnah and preserving and protecting and spreading the sunnah. Imams of the sunnah like al-Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood and al-Tirmidhi and Nisa'i, Ibn Majah and many others. They have collected the sunnah. They have verified that which is authentic and clarified that which is lies or not authentic, or that which is ascribed falsely to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Great efforts have been made to preserve this religion and this deen. And that remains until this day. So we must learn that way and let go of the other ways for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For who? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا وَقَوْلُهُ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ فَهُوَ إِخْلَاصُ الدِّينِ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. وكان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يقول: اللهم اجعل عملي كله صالحا واجعله لوجهك خالصا ولا تجعل لأحد فيه شيئا. As for his statement and associate none in worship with his Lord, in his statement, submit his face to Allah, this refers to sincerity in the religion and purity for Allah, making the intention sincerity and purity for Allah. Umar ibn Khattabi radiallahu anhu used to say, "Oh Allah, make my actions, all of them righteous, and make them purity for your face, and do not make anything in them for anyone else whatsoever." This is a beautiful supplication from Umar we should memorize. Allahumma ja'al amali kullahu salihan waj'alhu liwajhika khalisan wa la taj'al li ahadin fihi shay'an. Wa qala al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, he died in the year 187 from the great scholars of the Atba' Tabi'in. Fi qawli Allahi ta'ala, he mentioned about the statement of Allah the Most High, liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala qala akhlasuhu wa aswabu. That Fudayl, he mentioned regarding the statement of Allah the Most High, that He may test you to see which of you is best indeed. He said, which one is best indeed? Meaning the most sincere and most correct. The most sincere and most correct. قَالُوا يَا أَبَا عَلِي مَا أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَبُ. So they said to him, O Abu Ali, what is the most sincere and most correct? قَالَ إِنَ الْعَمَلَ إِذَا كَانَ خَالِصًا وَلَمْ يُكُنْ صَوَابًا لَمْ يُقْبَلْ وَإِذَا كَانَ صَوَابًا وَلَمْ يُكُنْ خَالِصًا لَمْ يُقْبَلْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ خَالِصًا صَوَابًا. والخالص أن يكون لله والصواب أن يكون على السنة على السنة. So he said to them, if the deed is sincere but not correct, it is not accepted. And if the deed is considered outwardly correct but it's not sincere, it's not accepted until it's both sincere and correct. Sincere means it's for the sake of Allah alone, and correct, it means it's upon the sunnah. It's upon the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, it's very easy. The religion of Allah is not complicated. But people's desires and their love for their customs and cultures, and the ways of their forefathers, makes it complicated for some people. And likewise, the love of this worldly life, it takes root in the heart. And a person becomes preoccupied with the dunya. He has no time for learning, or sitting and gathering some knowledge, or reviewing the Quran, or memorizing the narration, or studying the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or learning the law and legislation. He's overwhelmed with the dollar and his love for the Benjamin Franklin, huh? The Benjamin Franklin, right? That's the guy to get a dollar. They got to get a dollar. We have to be alive. This just takes them away. This blocks their mind. This puts stain wrong on their heart. They're not able to see the truth, nor are they able to seek it. So how can they ever practice it or apply it? So we have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and return to the religion. Return to seeking knowledge, sincerity for the sake of Allah, from the proper sources, those who are qualified and reliable, for the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're coming to our point. Indeed, the legislation of Allah has placed great emphasis on adhering to the prophetic sunnah and all aspects of worship and religious practice. We've seen that, right? Indeed, the legislation of Allah has placed great emphasis on adhering to the prophetic sunnah and all aspects of worship and religious practice. Following the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, cannot be established in worship except by being in accordance to his sunnah. And six important points. We just discussed it, right? Every deed, it must be sincerity for the sake of Allah alone and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inwardly, it must be sincere, purely for the sake of Allah, not for the dunya or any aspect of this worldly life. It must be for Allah alone. That's what the intention is based upon. That's what the intention wants. He's hoping for the reward of Allah, for the promise of Allah, for the mercy of Allah, to be accepted by Allah. He hopes to go to Jannah. He hopes that his deed will be accepted. And outwardly, it conforms to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the discussion is, how can we make effort to assure that our actions are outwardly in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The people of knowledge, they put these points here. These points are clarified in the following lines of poetry. We have to memorize these lines of poetry before you leave. ولا تخالف سنة الرسول في واحد من ستة أصول في سبب والجنس والمكان والكيف والمقدار والزمان. Who can read it? Hat. Who can read it? You can read it from the paper right now. After that, we're going to memorize it. ولا تخالف سنة الرسول في واحد من ستة أصول في سبب والجنس والمكان والكيف والمقدار والزمان. ولا تخالف سنة الرسول في واحد من ستة أصول في سبب والجنس والمكان والكيف والمقدار والزمان. ولا تخالف, and do not oppose, سنة الرسول. Do not oppose the sunnah of the messenger. في واحد من ستة أصول. They're not even in one from six principles. What are they? في سبب and the reason, والجنس and the type, والمكان and the place, والكيف and the how, والمقدار and the amount, والزمان and the time. In the time. So the action must be in accordance to the sunnah in these six places. The reason why it's performed, the type that's being established, the place where it's performed, how it's being performed, the amount it's being performed in, and the time it's being performed in must be in accordance to the sunnah. If one of these affairs here are lost or not established, it will fall into the realm of being misguidance and innovation. You understand that? It will fall into the realm of being misguidance and innovation, meaning it will not be accepted. So, do not contradict the sunnah of the messenger in even one of these six principles: reason, type, place, manner, quantity, and time. ولا تخالف سنة الرسول في واحد من ستة أصول في سبب والجنس والمكان والكيف والمقدار والزمان. The following is an explanation of these six principles in brief detail. The following is an explanation of these six principles in detail. Number one, السبب, the reason. Acts of worship must be based on a valid reason established in the sunnah. It is impermissible to innovate acts of worship without legitimate grounds. For example, offering prayer for a specific cause not linked to an authentic basis is misguidance and great deviation. An example of this is specifying the 27th night of Rajab for standing in the night prayer, claiming this was the night of the night journey and the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the heavens. You understand that? The night of the Isra and Miraj. Some people, they claim that that night was the 27th of Rajab. And therefore, because that's that night, they stand in the night prayer for that night, for that reason. The supposed dates of this event are not established, meaning there's no proof in the Quran nor the Sunnah that it was in Rajab on the 27th night. The date itself is not established. There's no proof for it. All of it? So the day that they selected and chose and claimed that the Isra was Miraj was that night is not established. They have no proof for it. So if you say something is something like, it happened this night, but you have no proof for it, what are you doing? Huh? You're speaking from?
Desires.
They call it running your mouth. Or freestyling. Right? He's just making up stuff. He has no proof, no evidence. Where do you get that from?
Basis.
He has no basis. So the supposed dates of this event are not established. And there's no authentic evidence to support specifying this night for any action of worship. And even if we said, okay, it's the 27th night, even if that was true, and it's not true, there's no proof for that. Even if we said that, is there any evidence that it's legislated to stand in the night prayer specifically on that night for that reason? No. So the dates are not established, neither is the reason. Therefore, it is considered innovation and evil practice and not allowed. So standing on the night of the 27th of Rajab for that reason, it's not allowed. It's not a good deed. It's not a good deed. It's not a hasanah. We're not bringing you near to Allah. It takes you away from Allah. What are you talking about? Prayer is going to take me away from Allah? It's not about prayer here. It's about following the sunnah. It's about introducing affairs in the reason that's not from it. This is not a prayer that's legislated. So therefore, it's not a prayer that's good. Well, then. Another example is sending the salah and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is initially legislated and praiseworthy act pleasing to Allah the Exalted. But if one made a specific reason to perform this worship, which is not prescribed in the sunnah, it will be rejected and not accepted. You understand? I have a narration. An Nafi, an Rajul al Atasa. إلى جنب ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما فقال الحمد لله والسلام على رسول الله قال ابن عمر وأنا أقول الحمد لله والسلام على رسول الله وليس هكذا علمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علمنا أن نقول الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال رواه الترمذي. It has been narrated from نافع, a man, he sneezed next to Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. And he said, and he sneezed, the man, he sneezed, achoo. You know sneezing? Achoo. And then he, after he sneezed, he said, Alhamdulillah, wassalamu ala rasulillah. Alhamdulillah, wassalamu ala rasulillah. Did he say something bad? He cursed somebody? He say a bad word? Alhamdulillah, wassalamu ala rasulillah. These words are good or bad? These words are good or bad? They're good. Okay, but are they in the right place? Were they said for the right reason? Listen to the response of this noble companion, radiallahu anhu. Ibn Umar, he replied, and I also say, alhamdulillah, wassalamu ala rasulillah. But this is not how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. Laysa hakadha allamana rasulullah. You understand? This is a good word initially, but saying it at this time for this reason, this is not how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. He taught us to say, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So to say, alhamdulillah, wassalamu ala rasulillah, this is good. But to say it here for this reason, it's not the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. So therefore, we will not do that. Whether the Prophet, he taught us what to say there. In this narration in the Tirmidhi, you say, whenever you sneeze, alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. In Sahih Bukhari Muslim, you say, alhamdulillah. There are other narrations likewise in the Sunnah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. These three ways have been affirmed in the Sunnah. You say, alhamdulillah, if you sneeze yourself, you say, alhamdulillah. Or if you sneeze yourself, you say, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Or if you sneeze yourself, you say, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. This is legislated because it has come in the authentic text. In the authentic text of the Quran and the Sunnah. As for alhamdulillah wa salamu ala rasulillah, initially the words are good, but that's not the place for it, nor the reason. So therefore it's rejected and not accepted. You understand? But we pay attention here. There's great benefits. Fawaid wa ahkam, benefits and rulings. Adherence to the Sunnah and statement and deed. This narration highlights the importance of sticking to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in supplication as well as all acts of worship without adding anything not prescribed. Correcting mistakes and misconceptions with kindness and wisdom. This is important. Ibn Umar's approach, radiallahu anhumah, to correcting the mistake demonstrates the proper etiquette when educating others. While he acknowledged the virtue of mentioning Allah and sending salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified the proper methodology gently and beneficial way. He didn't call him out. He didn't say, man, what's wrong with you? What are you, a fool? Are you ignorant? You don't even know how to say salat. You don't even know what to say whenever you sneeze. You're an innovator. You're following this. He didn't say none of that. He said, no, what you said is good. I say the same thing you say, but that's not how the Prophet taught us. Barakallahu fi. The Prophet taught us to say like this. So he clarified for him his mistake and his error, and he taught him in a gentle and a good manner so he will benefit. So that he will benefit. He was not harsh. He was not rude. You understand that? So if there are people from our family or our friends or our brothers and the likes like this who are upon an innovation or mistakes or ignorance, whenever we correct them, we correct them first and foremost with a good intention, hoping good for them, and then gently in a good manner. And likewise, observing their relationship with us. So if they're older than us, we have to respect that. If they're our parents, we definitely have to respect that. If they're our brethren, our kids, we have to respect that. We have to respect that. You have to observe these affairs. Allah has given the people rights. So we're not going to be shy or be a coward and back down from clarifying the truth, but we'll do that with wisdom, we'll do that with kindness, we'll do that with gentleness, we'll do that with light and insight and knowledge, and we'll do that with a good intention, hoping that they will benefit, not hoping to belittle them or the likes. Number three, respect for the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although sending salam upon the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is virtuous, doing so for reasons not specified in the Sunnah is considered going beyond the bounds of appropriate adherence. True love and respect is displayed in obedience and sincere adherence to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inwardly and outwardly, without adding and without any additions or subtractions. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحِبُّكُمُ اللَّهَ. Gratitude and praise in all circumstances. The phrase taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, all praise and thanks to Allah in every circumstance, reminds a believer to practice gratitude and contentment in every situation, whether in ease or hardship. Preserving the Sunnah exactly as taught. The companions were very diligent in transmitting the Sunnah exactly as they have learned it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, demonstrating their trustworthiness in preserving and transmitting the religion. You see, he didn't let the man go like that. Rather, he corrected him and he taught him and he clarified that although what he said is initially something good, that's not the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them. You understand? So they are from those whom the Messenger taught. So even in sneezing, barakallahu fikum, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them the proper thing to say. And then they were trustworthy and reliable, and they carried that on to those after them, And they corrected those who fell into error with regards to that. This is clarifying the status again of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. How much time do we have? Huh? 20 minutes. I know we want to take a break, but a lot of the brothers, they have to leave. So we're trying to cover as much as we can before they leave, huh? Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Let's ask the one in the back to be a little bit quiet. Number two, al-jins. Al-jins is the type. Worship should conform to the type or nature specified in the sunnah. Deviating in type of act, meaning slaughtering an animal not prescribed for a certain ritual, for example, alters the intended worship and will not be accepted. Worship should conform to the type or nature specified in the sunnah. Deviating in the type of act alters the intended worship and will not be accepted. An example of this is to slaughter a horse or a chicken for the Udhiyah on the days of Eid. On the days of Eid. All of this is contrary to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. The legislative animals for slaughtering as an action of worship seeking to draw near to Allah are the cattle, namely the cows, namely the camels, cows, sheep, and goat. Everybody's with me? The discussion now is about the day of Eid. Eid al-Adha. You want to make the Udhiyah, right? You want to slaughter on that day after Eid. After Salat al-Eid, you slaughter, right? So there's a type of animal that has to be slaughtered. There's a type of animal that must be slaughtered. You can't just slaughter any animal. You can't be like, I'm going to slaughter a chicken, right? Well, I got a horse, stallion, right? You know, you have to slaughter a specific type of animal or not be considered Udhiyah. It will not be considered a means to draw near to Allah and perform those sacred rites. The type must be specifically established in the legislation. قال الله تعالى ولكل أمة جعلنا من سكن ليذكر اسم الله على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام. Allah the Exalted, He says, and for every nation we have appointed religious ceremonies that they may mention the name of Allah over the beasts of cattle that He has given them for food. قال البغوي رحمه الله في تفسيره لهذه الآية الكريمة. الإمام البغوي رحمه الله, he mentioned in his tafsir of this noble verse, وقيدها بالنعم لِأَنَّ مِنَ الْبَهَائِمْ مَا لَيْسَ مِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ كَالْخَيْلِ وَالْبِغَالِ وَالْحَمِيرِ وَلَا يَجُوزُ دَخْلُهَا فِي الْقَرَابِينِ. He says here in this verse, he specified it as cattle because there are animals that are not from the cattle, such as horses, mules, and donkeys, which are not permissible to be included in sacrificial offerings. So Allah, He clarified this. And the people of knowledge, they clarified this, that on the Udhiyah, you can't slaughter a mule, you can't slaughter a donkey, you can't slaughter a horse. You can't slaughter a chicken. You have to slaughter the cattle that's mentioned in this verse, from the behemoth, meaning from the camels or the cows or the sheep or goats. This is what is legislated. And even then, we will see that these animals, likewise, they must have a specific type and age. They cannot have any. They have to be of the right age, or it will not be accepted. And likewise, they have to be free of certain defects as well, or they'll not be accepted. So there's a legislation here that's prescribed. The actions must be according to it, or the actions, they will be rejected. Number three, al-makan, the place. Actions of worship that have specific locations designated by the sunnah must be performed in those locations only. For instance, tawaf and standing at Arafah and other sacred rites of hajj are valid only when performed at their specific locations. For example, if a person made a tikaf in his home or office, it would not be considered legislated, rather it would be an innovation that is rejected. This is because the i'tikaf is an action of worship that is to be performed in the masjid only. In the masjid only. So if a person, he wants to make tawaf, and he starts making tawaf around the masjid. You can't make tawaf around this masjid. There's only one place in the world you can make tawaf. Where's that? Yeah. Around the Kaaba. This is an action of worship, a tawaf, that can only be performed in one place in the world. That's the masjid al-haram. Around the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, standing on the day of Arafah. If a person is making the sacred rites of hajj, and he is does not stand at the place of Arafah, in the boundaries of Arafah, and the time that's allotted, his rights would be rejected, and he will not have Hajj that year. If he thought he was in Arafah, come to find out he was not in Arafah, then his rights are rejected if he's not able to get there in time. You understand that? You can't just stand wherever.
You have to stay on the day of Arafah. You have to be present in Arafah, that land, that place that has boundaries. You must be there. So this is a place that's specific. Likewise, making itikaf. You can't make itikaf in your house or make itikaf in your office and the likes like this. You have to make itikaf in a masjid because this is a sacred act of worship that has to be performed in the masjid. Number four, al-kayf, the manner. The way an act of worship is performed must align with how it was prescribed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Adding or altering its manner is an innovation. An example of this is wiping the neck when performing ablution. This action is not verified in the authentic narrations, and it is not known from the description of the ablution of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, the people of knowledge have clarified that it is not legislated and declared it to be an innovation. So some people, whenever they wipe their head and they wipe their ears, then what do? They wipe their neck. So which hadith is that? Which hadith is that? If there is a hadith about it, it's weak. It's weak, very weak. And Islam, alhamdulillah, did not base our belief or creed or actions of worship on narrations that are weak and unauthentic. And those who do that, they have gone astray. So this is misguidance. So we have clear narrations of how to perform the ablution, narration after narration in Bukhari and Muslim and the other books of hadith that are authentic, of the peak of authenticity. And it's not mentioned in one of them that whenever you make wudu, you wipe the back of your neck. You wipe the back of your neck. Somebody says, oh, just in case, right? Plus, what, I'm going to wipe my belly too then, just in case, right? If we're going to start talking about just in case, people are going to be wiping everything, right? You don't, in Islam, just in case means to follow the sunnah. Just in case, yeah, you follow the sunnah. Right? That's just in case. That's how you take precaution. You want to take precaution just in case. You make sure you're acting the word. Your worship is accepted. You just hold fast to the sunnah. You just hold fast to the sunnah. So you don't change the manner. You don't change the manner. You don't change the manner. You have to learn how the Prophet ﷺ did it, and then you do it in that same way. You do it in that same way. Also, some people, whenever they make the takbir for salat, they go like this. They put their palms facing themselves. Whenever they stand up for ruku', they raise their hands like they're making qunut in the middle of the prayer. There's no hadith for this. You raise your hands like this, level to your shoulder with your palms facing out. You understand? Some people, they raise their hand like they're making du'a in the middle of the prayer. That's not the place for that. That's not how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that. And every time you raise from ruku', you make du'a. Nah, not like that. That's called qunut, and it has places for it, particularly in the witr prayer or whenever there's du'a. Because of calamities, and that's going to be in the hands of the imam and the ruler and the likes like this. As for the witr prayer, name, there's a qunut, and you raise your hand. But this is not in the five daily prayers, or in the other prayers and the likes like this. Rather, when you raise your hands to your shoulders, with your hands facing out, with your fingers together. This is what has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number five, miqdar, and miqdar, the quantity. Worship must adhere to the prescribed amount. Whether it pertains to prayers, fasting, or charity. For example, praying 5 raka'at for dhuhr instead of 4 as a means to draw near to Allah is impermissible. Similarly, making tawaf 8 laps intentionally instead of 7 is an innovation and is rejected. You can't add more. You can't be like, you know, Fajr is only 2 raka'at. Man, I can do more. I'm strong. Let's make it 4. And someone, no, let's make it 6. Right? I can do more. We're going to work harder and get close to Allah. That's not going to be accepted because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not legislate that. He prayed too. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you understand? This is very clear. So we don't add. We don't add. Good intention is not going to help us here. We have to stick fast to the sunnah. And Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, innahu qal, ja'a arabiyun ila nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam yas'aluhu an al-wudu. Fa'arahu al-wudu'a thalathin thalathin. Thumma qala hakadha al-wudu'. فَمَنْ زَادَ عَلَى هَذَا فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ وَتَعَدَّ وَظَلَمَ وَهُوَ أَبُو دَاوُدَ وَالنَّسَائِيُّ وَلَفْظُ لَهُ بْنُ مَاجَهُ. It's been narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنهما, a Bedouin, يعني desert Arab. He came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asking about الوضوء, ablution, يعني how to perform it. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم showed him how to perform ablution 3 times for each part. And then he said, this is how ablution is done. Whoever exceeds this has done wrong, transgressed, and committed injustice. You understand? 3 times. You wash your hands 3 times. You wash your mouth and your nose 3 times. Not 4 times. Not 5 times. Not 6 times. Just in case, 7 times, right? Learn 3 times. At the most, 1 time is minimum. That's an obligation. And three times is sunnah, the most. Not before that. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? فَمَنْ زَادَ عَلَى هَذَا فَقَدْ أَسَأَ وَتَعَدَّى وَظَلَمَ. Whoever exceeds this has done wrong, transgressed, and committed injustice. You understand? So it's said, the time that you wash your body parts in wudu, is three times. It's three times. As for wiping, how many times do you wipe? Huh? One time, right? You wash the body parts three times and you wipe one time. How many times do you wipe the head? You wipe the head three times? You wipe the head one time. You wipe the socks three times? You wipe the socks one time. As for the body parts washing, you wash them three times. This is the sunnah. Minimum of one time. Minimum of one time. The most is three times. Whoever goes beyond that, he transgressed the limits. He committed injustice. And he's done wrong. And it's not considered hasana. He's done wrong. Asa'a. That's a sayya. You understand? It's not pleasing to Allah. وَرَوَىٰ الْبَيْحَقِي بِسَنَدٍ صَحِيحٍ عَنْ سَعِيدٍ بْنُ مُسَيِّبٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. He died in the year 94 from the great scholars of the Tabi'een. And he is actually married to the daughter of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. أَنَّهُ رَأَى رَجُلًا يُصَلِّي بَعْدَ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ رَكَّتَيْنِ يُكْثِرُ فِيهَا الرُّكُوعُ وَالسُّجُودُ فَنَهَاهُ فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدٍ أَيُعَذِّبُنِي اللَّهُ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَالَ لَا وَلَكِنْ يُعَذِّبُكَ اللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ السُّنَّةِ. It's narrated by Al-Bayhaqi with an authentic chain from Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah. He saw a man praying after the break of dawn, and after the Fajr had come in, after the Adhan of Fajr, but before the prayer of Fajr. Praying two rak'ah, excessively bowing and prostrating. Praying more than two rak'ah, excessively bowing and prostrating. And he, after the Adhan of Fajr, before the Salat of Fajr, this man is praying sunnah, sunnah, sunnah. Long ruku', long sujood, and the likes like this. Worshipping Allah. Worshipping Allah. So he says that he saw him and he forbade him. So the man, he said, Abu Muhammad, is Allah going to punish me for praying? Right? It's after Fajr, but before Salat al-Fajr, and he's praying sunnah, two rak'ah, bowing for a long time, sujood for a long time, begging Allah and the likes like this. And the tabi, he stops him. Well, don't do that. So what did he say? Is Allah going to punish me for praying? Very clever response, huh? What did he say? No, but he will punish you for opposing the sunnah. No, but he will punish you for opposing the sunnah. What is he talking about? This is based on what has been reported authentically in the sunnah. An Yasar Mawla ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma annahu qala ra'ani ibn Umar wa ana usalli ba'da tulu' al-fajr faqala ya Yasar inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja alayna wa nahnu nusalli hadhihi as-salat. فقال ليبلغ شاهدكم غائبكم لا تصلوا بعد الفجر إلا سجدتين أي سنة الفجر. It's narrated from Yasar, the freed slave of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, who said Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma saw me praying after the break of dawn. He's the same prayer we were just talking about. And he said, oh Yasar, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came unto us while we were praying this same prayer. And meaning some of the Sahaba, they did the same thing in the time of the Prophet, and the Prophet seen them. And he said to them, let those present convey those who are absent. Do not pray after the break of Fajr, after the break of dawn, except two prostrations. Any meaning, except the sunnah of Fajr. Do not pray except the sunnah of Fajr. Do you understand this? So this is something that some of the tabi'een, they did, and they were corrected by others who were not more knowledgeable of them. Rather, one of the tabi'een was doing that, and Ibn Umar saw him and said, we were doing that, and the Prophet told us not to do it. You understand? And the Prophet told us not to do it. So after the Fajr comes in, this is not a time for a lot of sunnah prayers. It's the time for one sunnah prayer, the sunnah of Fajr. And it's been narrated from Salama, and likewise from Aisha radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make those two rak'ah, the sunnah of Fajr, very light. لا يصلي إلا ركعتين خفيفتين. After the Fajr come, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would not pray except for two light rak'ah. Even in the hadith of Aisha, حَتَّى لَا أَدْرِي أَقَرَى بِأُمُّ الْكِتَابِ أَمْ لَا. They were so light, she said, I don't even know if he read the Fatiha or not. And meaning he did not make the sunnah of Fajr long. Rather, he made them short. You understand? You recite Al-Kafirun and قُلُوا وَلَوْا أَحَدٍ. You don't make the long ruku', you don't make the long sujood, not here. That's not the time for that. The sunnah has clarified that's not the time for that. And definitely you don't go over and over and over and over more and more and more. You just pray the sunnah and you're good. You pray the sunnah, you sit, you make dua, you read the Quran, waiting for the iqamah. Waiting for the iqamah. You don't continue praying. Alhamdulillah. This is from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is from the conveyance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. These affairs have been clarified in the authentic text. Qala al-alama Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani rahimahullah fil ilwa. وهذا من بداع أجوبة سعيد المسيب رحمه الله تعالى وهو سلاح قوي على المبتدعة الذين يستحسنون كثيرا من البدع باسم أنها ذكر والصلاة ثم ينكرون على أهل السنة إنكار ذلك عليهم واتهمونهم بأنهم ينكرون الذكر والصلاة وهم في الحقيقة إنما ينكرون خلافهم للسنة في الذكر والصلاة ونحو ذلك. Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani rahimahullah, he commented on this narration of Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah in his book Al-Idwa. This is among the brilliant responses of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. May Allah have mercy on him. It serves as a powerful refutation against innovators who often justify many innovations under the guise of remembrance and prayer. Under guise, they say, oh, making dhikr, or sending salat on the Prophet, or making salat, right? Then they say, what are you talking about? How are you going to reprimand us? We're just praying. We're just sending salah on the Prophet. We're just making dhikr. And the likes like this, huh? They criticize the people of the Sunnah for rejecting such practices, accusing them of opposing dhikr and prayer. Well, you don't like prayer? Oh, you don't like dhikr? Oh, you don't like to send a salah on the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, that's not the case. In reality, what they oppose is their deviation from the Sunnah and dhikr and prayer and similar acts. So we're not against prayer. Not against dhikr, we're not against sending salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We encourage that. What we're against is innovation. Innovation in doing these practices in manners that are not prescribed. This is what we're against. This is what we're against. That's it. So in reality, the people who are upon those ways, when they're reminded by the people of the Sunnah, they should say, Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fiqh. Instead of opposing them and fighting them and defaming them and belittling them and the likes like this or trying to run them off, they should say, Jazakallah khair for informing me. For reminding me, for helping me, for showing me the sunnah. This is all they want to do. Yeah, we want you to make dhikr. Yes, but do the dhikr that's legislated. Even the innovative dhikr. Many of the dhikr that's innovated, especially the salah and salam, they have shirk in them. They have shirk in them, waliyadu billah. Even if not, if it's just innovated, it's still not accepted, it's rejected. So who would want their brother to be working all day long, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla in a manner that's rejected? Nobody wants that for the people. That's why they call them to the sunnah. That's why they tell them that it's wrong. Not to belittle them, not to laugh at them, not to mock them, not to take them out of Islam, not to make takfir on them. No, to call them to the sunnah, to call them to the deen, so they can worship Allah upon inside, so they can go to Jannah. And so they can establish their religion, they can be upon Islam properly and correctly. That's why the call is for. That's why the guidance is for. That's why the advice is for. That's why the clarification is for. You understand that? This is very important. Very important. So in reality, they oppose their deviation from the sunnah and dhikr and prayer. And similar, that's not opposing the dhikr and the prayer. It's we almost finished, huh? The time. Zaman. How much time we got? Huh?
2 minutes.
Appointing specific times for actions of worship that are not prescribed by the legislation, are rejected and not accepted. Similarly, actions of worship that are prescribed at specific times must be performed within their allocated time. Offering prayers outside their specific times or fasting on days prohibited by the legislation violates this principle. Understand that? Appointing specific times for actions of worship that are not prescribed by the legislation are rejected and not accepted. Similarly, actions of worship that are prescribed at specific times must be performed within their allocated times. Offering prayers outside their specific times or fasting on days prohibited by the legislation violates this principle. عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنهما أنه قال خطبنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الأضحى بعد الصلاة فقال من صلى صلاتنا ونسك نسكنا فقد صاب النسك ومن نسك قبل الصلاة فإنه قبل الصلاة ولا نسك له. It's been narrated by البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنهما. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم addressed us on the day of Eid al-Adha after the prayer, and he said, whoever prays our prayer and sacrifices as we do has performed the correct sacrifice. And whoever sacrifices before the prayer, it is just meat that he has presented before his prayer, and it is not considered a sacrifice. You understand that? The udhiyah, the slaughtered on the day of Eid, it must be slaughtered after the prayer, not before the prayer. It must be slaughtered after the prayer, not before the prayer. فَقَالَ أَبُو بُرْدَ إِبْنُ نِيَارَ قَالَ الْبَرَاءِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَإِنِّي نَسَكْتُ شَاتِي قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ وَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّ يَوْمَ يَوْمُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ وَأَحْبَبْتُ وَأَحْبَبْتُمْ أَن تَكُونَ شَاتِي أَوَّلَ مَا يُذْبَحُ فِي بَيْتِي فَذَبَحْتُ شَاتِي وَتَغَدَيْتُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آتِيَ الصَّلَاةَ. Abu Burda ibn Niyar, the uncle of Al-Bara, the narrator of the narration, He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have already sacrificed my sheep before the prayer. I knew that today was a day of eating and drinking, and I wanted my sheep to be the first to be slaughtered in my household. So I slaughtered and I ate before coming to the prayer. Did he have a good intention or a bad intention? Good intention. His intention is good. He's a companion of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows today is the day of Eid. Today is the day. Akram wa shurum wa dhikrun lillah. So he wants to be the first to slaughter, the first to eat, the first to participate on the sacred rites of those days. He wants to beat everybody. He's racing to the good. Good intention or bad intention? Good intention. But he just found out that if you slaughter before the prayer, it's not right. It's not right. Qala shatu ka shatu lahm. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not consider his intention. He said, your sheep is just for meat. Your sheep is just for meat. قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ عِنْدَنَا عَنَاقًا لَنَا جَذَعًا يَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ شَاتَيْنِ أَفَتَجْزِي عَنِّي قَالَ نَعَمْ وَلَنْ تَجْزِيَ عَنْ أَحَدًا بَعْدَكَ مُتَفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, I have a young goat that is dearer to me than two sheep. And I have a goat that is below the age, but it's dearer to me than two sheep. Would it suffice for me to sacrifice in the place of the one that I slaughtered? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, yes, but it will not suffice as a sacrifice for anyone after you. Meaning we make an exception for the being under the age, for your circumstance, because you slaughtered before the time, on this day only, and for you only. As for everyone else, it must be of the proper age and at the proper time. You understand? So he did not consider his intention. The animal that he slaughtered before was not accepted. Even though he had a good intention, and he was unaware of the ruling. He didn't want to do anything bad. But he didn't outwardly comply to the legislation. Therefore, it was not accepted. Shatuka. Here it is made very clear that any action one performs hoping to draw near to Allah must be according to the law and legislation, inwardly and outwardly, and that mere good intention is not sufficient. How many people intend good, yet they do not achieve it? Trying to cover as much as we could before you guys have to go home. Alhamdulillah. You're going to catch the rest of it on the road, inshallah. Huh? Okay, barakallah.